thought of a question that I need to ask you guys. So.
Okay. Do you want to lead with that?
Okay, yeah, I will.
Lovely.
My daughter is currently rapping in the background. She found my microphone and decided that that was then the best time to just make up a rap.
Give me the lyrics.
I thought we were doing bad lip syncing.
Can you tell me your rap, please?
We want it.
Come on.
Hey, my name's Joe. I like to mow. And my big toe, its name's Flo. Although people say that, so, oh yeah.
There you go.
Was that second line, I like to mow?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, well.
I can get behind it.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
I like well Joe. Done. He Thank sounds you. Good.
Yeah. And my big toe's name, Flo.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it.
So, gentlemen, I have a question to ask you.
Oh, yes.
As a father, how do you feel when information that you are sure of is proven to be incorrect, then causing you to have to go back to the place that you left? Because you said, no, the thing that you think you lost at that place is definitely at home.
Oh.
Because I did that last night.
That's almost a reverse Dardenfreuder moment.
Right.
So it's being sure of yourself for no particular reason and being proven wrong.
Well, yeah. So being sure of yourself due to a memory that was incorrect.
Okay.
I had exactly the same moment on the weekend, Wigan, so I can testify that it takes a lot to say, oh, my mistake. I'm terribly sorry. I should have questioned the third party in this instance. Uh-huh. I was questioning two others, and there was a third party who was involved who I did not question, who, if I'd gone there earlier, I would have saved myself some considerable grief.
So both of your instances, do they involve inconveniencing other people in the pursuit of you assuming you're correct?
No, this actually inconvenienced me more than anyone else. And what about you, Ellis?
Mine was just very, very mundane, unfortunately. I thought that I placed my wonderful brand new USB-C cord into the charger and there was an old cruddy one in there instead. And I said, what have you done with the good one? And it was like, well, I haven't touched it. And I said, well, what have you done with it? It's got to be somewhere. And then I said to Tony, well, he's touched it. He's done something with it. And then Tilly was like, oh, no, it's in my bag. But as we can see, I had a very clear memory of plugging it in, and apparently that was incorrect.
So well, it was the previous time you plugged in a brand new USB-C cable.
I don't know.
What I will say is that your daughter Tilly has a great name for looking up at the sky and shaking her fist. Tilly!
She's a good name for it.
Oh, dear. So we had gone out for dinner for Father's Day, which was lovely, and my daughter had taken her fake labubu.
Oh, yeah.
Or she had thought that she'd taken her fake labubu with her.
All right.
And so we went out to dinner, and as we left the place that we'd had dinner, Rose looked at me and said, my labubu's gone. And I turned to her and said, no, it's definitely at home. I put something on top of it before we left.
Good memory.
On the kitchen table, I remember putting it down and going, why am I putting this on top of this labubu? Oh, I'm just going to do it anyway. And I put it down and we got home and Rose walked in before anyone else and looked at the table. No labubu.
Right.
So very, very sad moment. We had tears. Well, I then had to turn around and go back to the place that we had come from. Tail between my legs, asked at the front desk. No, definitely hadn't been handed in here. Said, okay, I'm going to go back up to the restaurant. Went up to the restaurant and the place was chaos, as you can imagine. No labubu. It's gone.
I mean, this is a sad story, but just the sound of you saying no labubu is just, I can't take it too seriously.
No, me either. I didn't realise it was such a big thing until tears. And but in in just a in a wonderful piece of customer service, I gave my contact details to the lady at the restaurant, and she took my number and my name and put it on the back of a coaster. Now, at that stage,
that's definitely
if someone did
kept.
That, right? Mm. Exactly. That's exactly right. So in my mind, I'm thinking, oh well, I'm never going to hear from these people ever again. Now, it's about 7 minutes away from my house, and as I drove in and walked in the door,
yeah,
my phone rings.
Yeah.
And it's the business.
Yeah.
Oh, give us the business.
And one of the managers has said, look, I've just checked business? You guys coming. I've just checked you guys coming in. Your daughter is, you know, she described Rose, and she said, oh, she had a bag with her. I said, yep. She said, there's no Labubu attached to this bag. I've watched you guys from the entire moment you've come in to the moment that you got to your seat, and there was no Labubu attached to the bag. Now,
C-I-S.
Oh, there's no Labubu.
Yeah, that's right. And so I was really, really very happy with the customer service that I got in that instance. Very sad with the outcome.
I'm a little creeped out by the customer service.
I reckon they love anything like this. Like, let's go to the tapes.
Yeah, that's right. Tapes.
Enhance, please. Well, no Labubu attached to that bag. No Labubu.
And
it's like Sliver.
I know from personal experience, having had to chase down footage for thievery in my retail experience, that it's not a 6 minute job.
No,
it's a 12 to 24 hour job. And for them to be able to do that so efficiently, that's right. If at all, yeah. Then I was just so impressed. But then, gentlemen, then I really did go NCIS.
Yeah.
I checked the front door, the video doorbell.
Oh, check the video at home
I
as well.
I checked the video at home.
Wow. These people watched The Net in 1995 and have been waiting 30 years.
Yeah. But we know
how many good movies can you call back to me? Like, seriously. The Net, Sliver. Yes, next.
I haven't picked a good one yet.
But we know he's got like his little control center where he can see everything that's happening in the house. So.
Yeah. Correct. And
result.
And if I could remember the movie with Gene Hackman in it where he's looking at things, then I'd reference that
with Will
too.
Smith.
Isn't that just
Enemy of the State?
Enemy of the State.
Oh, wow.
What was the other one with Bruce Willis and the Asperger's kid? Oh, there's so many.
What was it? Mercury Rising.
Mercury Rising. All right, well, thanks, guys. I'll see you next week. This has been great.
On the movie show.
I haven't mentioned Virtuosity yet.
Oh, yeah.
Or Sneakers.
Sneakers. Oh,
that's good.
That. Yeah.
That's a great... That's an amazing cast for that movie.
All right.
Sure is.
Great movie, too. The door cam.
Yeah.
Labubu on the door cam.
Interesting.
She left the house with the Labubu and then got to the business with no Labubu.
So it's in the car.
She didn't go in our car. Jasmine came down and she went with Jasmine. So I rang Jazz and she's like, not in the car.
Oh.
So
somewhere between the car, between your front door and the car, and then the other car in the front door of the business.
Correct.
We've got a lot of Labubu.
Correct. Not to throw a kind of fire blanket over the suspension you're building here, but is the Labubu still missing?
Yes.
Far out.
Any chance your eldest daughter kept it for herself?
Yeah.
Well, that has crossed my mind.
I've got another question.
Sounds like her.
Yes, Stu.
What's a Labubu?
Great question. Like,
I understand.
Now, I know what it is, but I can't really answer it.
What the fuck is it?
I understand it's a toy.
Yeah.
But I have two teenage sons, so I don't understand what this is at all, really.
Okay, so imagine a brightly coloured Mogwai.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But why is it such a big thing?
Because it is.
Because it's been... Yeah, it just is, Stu. It is. But, why is anything? Just because it is.
Does it have more capability than just sitting there? Is there something to it?
No, very easy to lose.
It's like Beanie Babies. Stu, it's Beanie Babies all over again.
See, I thought...
Tilly's got stolen from her bag at school, so she had a fake one. We went to in Dubai, and we went into one of the shops, and it was like, oh, yeah, how much? Because like fancy just when it was starting to kick off. I'm like, oh, how much for one of those? And they're like 385 dirham, which worked out to be like $215 Australian. I'm like, yeah, nah, I don't think we'll be doing that. And we went down to the road to like the Dodge shop, and there was one there for like $8. So I was like, yep, there we go. You got your little boo-boo. Like, you put them side by side, you wouldn't know. Like, you know, obviously Tilly got slagged off from all her friends for having a fake one, but you know, that's another story. And then someone stole it off her bag, and it's just like,
well, can't be that bad.
We told you not to put it on your bag.
See, I thought there'd be some sort of interactive quality, like a Tamagotchi, to make it like,
just an ugly fucking doll.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So, how's Rose going?
She's fine.
Well, she was rapping before. So.
She's rapping. Yeah.
She's got a new love of her life.
It was a pain rap, though.
She needs to do a Los Labubu rap.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
There's plenty that rhymes with Labubu, I'm sure.
This might be the start of her 8 Mile story.
Another movie. Well done.
Rosie and rap battles. Just feeding on that Labubu pain from her childhood. All right. Oh. Well, that's very sad. We might come back to Labubus.
Please don't.
Yeah.
Please don't? All right, fair enough. Can I just give you a couple of dad observations?
Please.
If you're feeling a bit down or you're feeling like you need to pick me up, can I say that you should never underestimate the feeling, the positive feeling, that buying a new kettle can bring you? I had a shitty old plastic kettle, and one day I just looked at it and said, this thing can get the fuck out of my face. And
did you throw it?
Verbally, you know. Okay. Like,
right. Just throw it over a pub.
But we got a beautiful clear glass one. You can watch the shit boiling, and it's all blue and funky colour. Like, I can't tell you how much it's improved my mood.
Is it a digital kettle?
No. It's not digital. It's just got light. It's got like little blue lights on it.
Oh.
And it's see through. You can see the bubbles.
Incredible. A couple of years ago, I would mock this discussion, but we bought a digital kettle, which does the same. It's see through and it's clear and it stays on the boil for 4 hours. I don't know why I need that, but you can also adjust the temperature. So
if you're
having a herbal tea. Herbal tea, then I don't need it at 100. That's crazy talk.
Right.
I'm not adding any cold milk, so I just set it at 80.
87.
80. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good times.
Okay, well, I did feel good about myself.
I don't want to... It's not a comparison. Comparison's a thief of joy, Buckland. Being able to see the bubbles in a kettle would bring you so much joy, but it does.
It does. Also, here's another dad observation for you. Just another world's gone mad. You need bloody two-factor authentication to get into Dan Murphy's website now to buy some piss. What is going on?
Yeah.
Brew your own.
In the kettle?
You don't need two-factor authentication to get into my house.
Send your kettle to Wart. It'll just bubble away for a couple of weeks.
Can you call the episode two-factor authentication piss kettle? Is that too much?
We'll see if we'll get an SEO uplift out of that.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the AI-generated image will be of that one.
All right,
the lights are yellow.
Here's my last one. It's more of a question than an observation, but I'm fishing for praise, basically. Tell me if this is brilliant dad work or not. You keep bags, like shopping bags, in your car. So if you have an unexpected shopping trip, you got bags, right? That's a given. Right? We all do that.
Indeed. Yeah.
Correct.
What I've got is, I've got a Coles bag and I've got a Woolies bag. And that way, if I go into Woolies, I take the Coles bag. If I go into Coles, I take the Woolies bag. So they can't accuse me of not paying for a bag.
Has that ever happened?
No.
Because he's been doing this.
Because he's carrying the opposite bag, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's genius dad work, Buckland.
Thank you. It could happen, though.
It could happen, yep.
Could happen.
And I mean, obviously, after you use the bag once or twice, it's very clear that it's not a fresh one, that someone's you've just pulled off the shelf. But, but you know...
Do you reuse your paper bags?
Well, I got a fire. I've been keeping them to collect little kindling, bits of kindling in.
Oh, I thought you were just going to chuck them in the fire.
Chuck them in the fire.
Yeah.
Your kindling bags, that's all right.
I don't think there's anything quite as satisfying as putting stuff into a freshly cracked brown paper bag.
I thought you were going to say fire then. Fire. And,
that's pretty good too.
You did it really creepily. I was going to say, well,
he's a
pyromaniac,
didn't
know that after all this time.
He stands around the supermarket watching people.
Well, you're going to put that in your fire.
Look at that. What are you putting in that fresh paper bag?
Buy
grapes?
Some new bags? Yeah. I notice you don't have any bags in your trolley. Are you going to buy some new ones?
Get your paper. Paper's better.
Get those new bags.
What are you putting in there? Barbecue chilk? Okay.
That's an interesting decision.
That's a risk, but I like it.
Oh, great.
I think that could also be the title.
Does anyone do the click and collect thing? Like the click to boot ordering thing?
All right. No. Okay, so this is a great question. No. And we have a reason why. Please continue, Ellis.
Well, I was just going to say that despite there's the option there of bags or no bags, and they charge you like an extra $3 or whatever for the bags, but I would say no bags. So I've now got crates, like, you know, collapsible crates in the back of the back of the car, and they they're very handy.
Yeah, outdated again.
Straight into the crates and then done and dusted. And yeah, I think that, look, I understand the annoyance of the pickers in the supermarket when you're actually there as well. Hmm. However, you do save a fortune by not going into the supermarket. So
I bet.
Yeah.
It's a very frugal way. We'll do one supermarket shop a month, and then the other three will be click and collect.
Yeah, because you don't want to go past the blackcurrant pastels and get absolutely nuts in there.
Salt and vinegar nobbies.
When you see those tubes on special, there's...
How many can I fit in the trolley?
Forget about it.
When you said no bags, I just thought, like, the picker would just have a trolley with all your loose shit in there and just start throwing it into your boot loose.
Just pegging cans.
This is a thing. Like, you've got to, so you've got to they've got their crates. So you've got to go and chuck them all so you transfer in one crate.
You have to recreate.
Yeah, you're recreating. Yeah.
How do you think the pickers.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to ask, like, do the pickers, like, are they friendly to you with this process you've got going on? Are they happy with it or?
Oh, yeah, because it's fast. Like, you know, they see me as another tightwad without bags. Oh. But then they see the crates in the back. So they're like, this guy's got it going on. And
do they say that, Rich?
Isn't that... That were the original lyrics to they see me rolling. It's
See me rolling, recreating.
They see me crating, yeah.
Now, Ellis, do you take your Coles crates to Woolies and your Woolies crates to Coles?
Yeah, we're getting somewhere.
Funnily enough, I've got Kmart branded and Bunnings branded one. Like, when I say branded, bought from each of the different stores. And so one is green and one is black. And so I don't know whether they know that that's the, if it's a quiet crating we've got going on.
You're thinking about it. I mean,
the crates.
Yes. Well, what are you talking about?
Right. So I've been on
what's the reason?
I've been on the
I forgot delivery, there was a reason.
The delivery train for shopping, right? I want to get some stuff delivered. I don't like going to the supermarket because it's a pain in the ass. So I would like to get some stuff delivered. My wife believes that when they do your shopping for you, they're going to pick all the shit stuff. And a large proportion of what we get is going to be like the stuff that they're like, oh, what stuff can I put in this? I'm going to put that one. It's got a busted corner. I'm going to put that really brown banana in there. Or, you know, whatever it may be. Now, the problem is, very much like your bag theory, Stu, we haven't actually had anything delivered to show that that is going to be the case.
So that hasn't borne out at all?
no, has not yet borne out. And
can I say, just anecdotally, I've had a mixed kind of, there's some things that I probably wouldn't buy, like some types of meat and stuff like that. But generally speaking, like fresh produce, fruit and veggies, can't really complain. And if you do, you just get a refund straight away, like literally. So unless there's something like really specific, like, I don't know, herbs are probably one of the things I'd be a little bit wary of if you need it for the meal that night. Mm. But everything else, if there's any dramas with it, you just get a refund and you keep it anyway. Like,
also, if you're the super,
very simple process.
If you're the supermarket, you're not going to piss off someone ordering delivery because they're already a keyboard warrior. They'll go and get on.
Not time for them to go.
Start reviewing it.
Yeah.
I had a brown
banana.
A moist mandarin.
The corner of my box was quite rough.
Well, there's also the swapsy. So if they don't have what you've actually selected, they may swap it for something else.
Yeah,
that was my strategy during the egg shortage, was you always bought supermarket brand eggs and they would invariably run out. So you'd get the upgrade to Super Swish Barossa eggs, which no one would buy because they're like $12 a dozen.
My Shiraz eggs.
I was hanging around in these beautiful, that's exactly right. I was hanging around in my Shiraz eggs, these dozens of eggs. I'd order 2 dozen a week and invariably I'd get the upgrade. So $12 dozen of eggs from my $6 you need supermarket ones.
We're explaining deliveries to people. Like, people haven't been doing this for more than 5 years already. To be honest, I would probably, if I was more organized, I would deliver more, get deliveries more.
Yep.
But often, like, I go to the supermarket because I'm still not sure what I'm cooking that week. So I'm looking for ideas while I'm walking around as well.
It's buckling cool. And that's what
we'll do. The monthly one is usually the big one where you kind of get your, as I say, your bits and pieces of meat and stuff like that. And you go, oh, yeah, that's going to be something later on. And that's on special. I see that Devon's only $4 a tube.
Yep.
Half price
Devon.
It's Justine's like favorite thing to do is do a fortnightly shop. And I don't think I would take away that joy with delivery. Well,
what's does she dig exactly?
I don't know. Maybe it's alone time.
Oh, I see. Mm. So, sorry, I pictured you going together and discussing.
No.
Right. Okay.
She likes it, and then when she was away last weekend, and so I had to do it. She's just not. It's just she doesn't trust the process if she's not there. Taking her time.
She's going looking for stuff. I would have bought this. Why didn't you buy this?
She's methodical. Takes her time.
Mm.
Probably gets through 1.5 podcasts.
Right.
See, I don't disagree with that. If I had the time, I would absolutely relish it, but I just don't have the time.
Well, can I say perhaps another reason why I also go shop in person is because if I did get stuff delivered and it was quick and easy, then that's another job I would have to pick up to make up the shortfall.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like going and doing the shopping is one of my jobs. If that's not happening anymore, I might be doing cat litters.
But surely the job is making sure there's food in the cupboards. Like, it doesn't matter how it gets there. That shouldn't be
I'm theorizing that hasn't happened at all.
Yeah, that's right. Other people are complaining about that they're not.
What kind of post-capitalist regime are you living under, Buckland? Well, you're being forced.
What you need to do, Buckland, is order a delivery, go for a walk, have a little you time, and then get it delivered to the back of your car at a different location.
Brilliant.
What was I say? Do the click and collect to boot. Go for an hour. Go and have a beer. Sit in the pub.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch some cricket, watch some YouTube, and then go and just get it delivered to the back of the boot and say, oh, got the shopping.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all okay. Pretty harrowing experience, that one. Oh, God, it was annoying.
No, parking. Pickles everywhere. The question would be asked, why are these all in Coles bags?
Some kids with trolleys.
Yeah, I was going to say, going, why don't you have any bags? Oh, they thought I stole the bags off the shelf.
Excuse me. I took Coles bags into Coles. And then they called the police and it was all
That's
terrible.
It, yeah. I got frisked in front of everybody. All right. Should we leave deliveries for the time being? Because,
yes.
You know, I can feel people losing the will to live a little bit.
Hang on, Stu. Are you losing the will to live a little bit?
Of course not. I brought, shopping is a huge part of my week. I would like to talk about it more. But having said that, Matt did say something in the chat about something he wanted to talk about that I'm also keen to hear, which was Hamburger Night.
Oh, well, this is the thing. I don't really have much content for Father's Day, but I have content about my own father and our future. And so two things happened the weekend before. My niece turned 18, so we had a flying visit up to the coast for her 18th birthday party. In the process, we put out my dad by coming up Friday night's burger night.
So, okay. Can I ask questions yet?
Burger and chips.
Do you have enough plates?
No.
Paper plates instead?
Paper plates instead. So it's burger night.
Plates left. What are we going to do? You have to use real plates.
So, Violet, we weren't sure what my daughter was doing, whether she was working, whether she wasn't working. She was trying to swap her shift. And so my mum was unsure of what time we were arriving. So she couldn't really... Burgers were a bit fiddly to make. And then if we're turning up her dinner, and then if we turn up later, and is she going to have to recook burgers? It was all too much. So she was just going to make a lasagna or something like that to serve. But then we just turned up at dinner time anyway, because we were able to get away. And so my dad was annoyed that he missed out on burger night and we didn't have to because we got there in time. So he mentions this to my brother, which was his first mistake. So my brother tells everyone at the party, please ask my dad about burger night. And so he spent the whole time at the party with people coming up going, oh, yeah, they came up last night. What did you have for dinner? Don't get me started on dinner. I don't know. And so the whole time, it's just like, it was like tag team. Like someone would leave the conversation and someone would turn up and go, yeah, burgers last night, Peter, Friday. No, anyway. So that's all fun. And then I take mum and dad home early in the evening and we get in the car and dad goes, everyone was on my side about the burgers. That's the first thing he said when we got in the car. And they were asking me about it. I was like, I don't even know what I was served last night. It was meant to be lasagna, but I don't know what it was.
Oh, now come on. Burgers. Let's not have shots at Annie.
Well, it wasn't.
Also not have shots at lasagna.
She didn't make it, or it was a packet thing or whatever it was. If she had made it from scratch, then there would have been no issues of quality.
Gotcha.
But because it was... And it didn't come out right or something. But either way, that was just constant all day. Was just.
But surely they had the hamburger fixins.
Yeah.
Did they not have hamburgers the next day?
But it's not hamburger night. You would have had to wait till the following Friday. What are you not listening, Stu?
No, I understand.
Saturday is probably something else that has to be eaten on Saturday, that day. Yeah. I don't know.
Plain tomato day.
Yeah. Oh,
every day is plain tomato day.
My dad was so sick the other day, he didn't want to eat tomatoes. That's how sick he was.
Is everything okay?
He's recovered, but I just thought I'd better share that with you. That's how my dad measures his illness. Eating rating.
Well, here's the problem.
Yes.
Two, with the obituaries on the paper plates, acid from tomatoes will just sear that ink right off it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely. Yep. So that's part one of dad news. The second one, I'm sure we can all relate to in a number of levels. Party starts at 1. Justine and I go for a walk. We get a walk down the beach. It's 11 o'clock. Maybe it's 11:15. We walk down the beach, take our time, get a coffee, get back to my mum and dad's about 12:45. Again, party starts at 1. It's a 2-minute drive to my brother's house. My dad is waiting at the front door. Like, where have you been? Okay, we went for a walk. Yeah, well, we've got to get ready. And I didn't know how long you were going to be. So, why are you going for such a long walk? Like, just completely flapping on, right? And I go, it's fine, Dad. The party doesn't start and finish at one. And he's like, it's fine. I said,
hello, it's nice to see you. Now go home, please.
Yeah, now go home. So then I go and see my girls.
That includes our special event.
I go and see my girls. They're ready. They're ready to go. And I go to Mum, are you ready to go? And she's like, yeah. And I go, well, Dad, there's like five, there's six of us and there's five people who fit in my car. I'll just drive you and Mum and the girls to go to the party and I'll come back and I'll get Jazz. We'll get changed and I'll get her. And he goes, oh, okay. And I said, are you ready? And he goes, I haven't got dressed yet. Well, why not? And he goes, I was waiting for you to come back.
Oh, no.
So what? That's where we're headed, gentlemen. That's where we're headed. You don't get dressed and ready to leave until everyone's in the house. For some reason.
And you know what's going on.
Can
and
I
you
just
know
ask,
what's going on.
That's incredible.
How does that even fit into RDT at all?
I don't know. This is where we're headed. I don't really know.
There's... Do you lose your RDT?
Well, he's that's real dad times all over the shop, clearly.
But he's pushing RDT in getting Matt home because Matt hasn't explained himself.
Yes, but doesn't have
but
his
there's
own.
There's no personal RDT because he's not ready.
No, that was, it baffled me completely as to why he wasn't ready so that whenever we came home, he was ready to leave.
Hmm.
It didn't make any sense. So he just was like...
Maybe he was worried about your outfit and his
clashing.
He was like, I'll wait to see what Maddie and Jazz are wearing so that my outfit won't clash with them.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't want to wear the same, but I want it two different, like, you know.
So then I was just into him about, like, what is wrong with you? Like, you're complaining about us being with... You're still late because you were... For some reason, waiting for me to come home before you got dressed, you nutter.
What if Matt also wears a Who Farted t-shirt?
So that was it. Like, he was just in a flap. Burger night got removed. Everything just compounded after that. He didn't know what was going on.
Burger night. That is probably burger night kind of tendrils. Pushing into the next day, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, a week. Until he got a burger a week later, it was probably that's all it was.
But he's out of whack. He's still down one burger.
Yeah, he's still down a burger. I don't know if that's how it works. I think once you eat a burger, you're like, all right, balance.
Right.
Go through the rest of the week not knowing what day it is, though.
But yeah, exactly.
That's what threw it out.
Yep.
He didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
So it's just, that was my favorite, though. Like, just... I didn't want to get ready until I knew what everyone was. It was so weird. Everyone's ready, Pete, you idiot. Look, they're all dressed. You're not. I can go now, but you're
Where
not
have you
ready.
Been?
You could be on time. And this is the best part. I was telling my brother all of this, right? And he goes, that's so ridiculous. Because do you know what time you turned up? And I was like, nah. And he goes, it was 1:02. I said, yeah, that seems about right. So even with all that, we were 2 minutes late.
Well, you can't be flustered and annoyed at someone's absence and be getting yourself dressed.
No, absolutely not. What if we never turned up? What would be the point of getting ready for a party? No one was there to take you.
That's RDT, because you save yourself time. Yes. If somehow you got swept out to sea, then... He would have wasted time getting ready for the party.
Get ready. Yeah, what a waste of time that is.
Well, that's fucking next level, that is.
Well, I mean, that's where we're headed, 30 years in the future.
I realize I haven't introduced the show yet. This is Dad Pants. I'm Stu. And you've been listening to the Pants panel already. Rich, Matt, and Ben.
Hello.
Hello.
It's a Father's Day special, and by that I mean it's been Father's Day, and so we'll reference it in some way. But first, I got to tell you, and I want to see if you've got any examples of this, my beef with tradies continues. It's one thing me being a shit handyman, right, and needing to call a tradie to do fairly basic stuff. It's another thing to have a tradie come out for one thing, and then start saying they'd be happy to fix a few other things they've noticed around the place.
Oh,
unrelated to their trade.
Now, so this was going to be my question. Was this a handyman or was this an electrician, for example?
Like, this was this was an air conditioner dude who also suggested that he'd be able to fix the gate for us, which was coming off the wall and had been on my list of things to worry about at some point.
Right. What was the deal? Was there a deal? Is there, I can do that for an extra 100? I could do that for an extra...
No deal. You just said, well, it's an easy job. I could do it while I'm here. And so I came home.
Did you say, yeah?
I wasn't there. I came home from work.
And the gate was fixed.
There were new drill holes where the gate had been drilled up against the wall better and properly.
Yep.
And I'm like, what? What's happened here? I thought an aircon guy was coming around.
I don't see the issue, Buckley. That's a win. You won.
How long was the gate like that, I suppose, is the question. Are we talking, was it just happened recently or has it been a while? And
I don't want to answer that.
Got the better of you.
I don't want to answer that.
Scoot, if I had a drill set up ready to do that and someone said, do you want me to do that for you? I would say yes. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I don't see the problem.
It's not reflective of your skills, Buckley. I think you've got to... going to take ego out of the equation.
You wouldn't
Stew, let me just... what you're sounding like, and this is going to be hard to hear. You're sounding like when you've asked your children to do something many, many times and they don't do it, so then you do it and they go, I was just going to do that.
I'm not saying I was about to do it.
I'm saying it was on the list.
Stick in your lane. You're an aircon guy.
Actually, you didn't even say it was on the list. You said it was about to go on the list. But it was
you haven't got a list.
Let's sit there here. Yeah. The list is in progress.
I think you've dodged a bullet there. Or do you think it's reflecting badly on yourself? I'd just be happy the gate's fixed.
This is my question.
I am happy the gate's fixed, but I'm also, I feel very small.
Oh.
How much commentary has there been from the rest of the family around the gate?
Good question.
And how well it's working now. And geez, doesn't it make the house look better? And those sorts of comments.
Didn't seem very hard to do. That kind of thing. See how quickly he did that? That was good, wasn't it?
Was it into wood or into concrete or into brickwork?
Concrete.
Well,
need a mason drill. Got to get a hammer drill.
You've got to have a hammer drill. You've got to have masonry bits. There's a lot of... You've just saved a fortune by not having to worry about buying all that shit, which you probably never use again.
Yeah.
I've got a lovely hammer drill that I used 3 times in 7 years. Yeah. Great.
Absolutely.
You're right that there was a fair bit of commentary before the gate was fixed, but no one's saying much about it afterwards. Mm. Maybe because they know how I feel.
It's like a gate / burger night situation, isn't it?
But have you ever had this? Like,
this is gate.
Where tradies have come round and overstepped, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Mm.
I know that's a without notice question, but...
Look, I've got a really good tradie that I use, and he is a pointer-outerer.
Oh, okay.
And I think it is one of those things. Now, I would use him for all of these things, but he's also... he's not cheap. I don't think any traders are cheap at the moment anyway, but but he's also very expensive and he's a pointer outerer. So there are now, I do have a list that is made of all the things that he needs to come and actually fix.
Yeah, Buckland, I was going to say, I understand what you're happening here because I have the inverse, the same. I've got a really good electrician that comes around and he says, oh yeah, I can do that. And then he'll just go, I'll save you some money. This is easy to fix. Just do this, this, and this. I don't have to do that because then it'd take me a bit of time. You'd have to pay for that, but you could do it in probably 20 minutes. And then that's it. So that's the opposite.
Right.
I might blow myself up, but I don't think so.
I mean, what I really have to ask myself is judge things on practical results. Practical result? I came home and the gate was fixed.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I just got to forget the other stuff, don't I?
Absolutely.
I was going to ask, has it cost you any sleep? But that's probably a terrible question to ask you.
The 12 seconds he sleeps a night.
No, more sleep because the aircon's fixed as well.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Making the house all delightful.
And the gate and the gate's closed and secure. So
yeah. Yeah. So it's not whacking against the door.
Windows.
The gate's not squeaking, flapping in the wind.
It's not flapping in the wind.
Let's do kids in pubs and then talk Father's Day. Richard.
It's not a very exciting conversation. Anyway.
Right. we'll be the joke. Rich, I said that I bought a kettle and it made me happy.
That was 20 minutes.
Go for it.
All right, so I'm just wondering how you guys feel about kids in pubs. Is this an acceptable thing? Is it an okay thing? We do it quite regularly, and there's some interesting. It's interesting to see how different places accept it, think about it, do it. We went to an all ages. Admittedly, it was marketed as an all ages gig last night, in a rather large pub, but it was still a big pub type event. We take our kids to pubs all the time. You know, they'll sit there and they'll play cards or chat or colour in and stuff while we're having a drink and talking. But I saw a very interesting sign when I was in Adelaide saying that between the hours of 12 a.m. and 2 a.m., under 18s must be accompanied by an adult in this venue. And then between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m., they must be off the premises, under 18s, that is.
Right.
So obviously South Australia has a fairly laid back attitude towards kids in pubs. I know that when I was working in pubs, there was like certain areas where at certain times of day, I think most bars had their own, I'm not sure if it was an actual law or requirement, but most places said, you know, under 18s offsite about 9 o'clock, and that would kind of stretch to, I think 10 o'clock was the absolute kind of limit there, but definitely no kids around bars and that kind of stuff. Whereas, I don't know, recently it seems like my kids just go up and go to the bar and have a chat with the bartenders and they become quite comfortable with it, I suppose, is what I'm saying. And I don't know whether I'm... this is it. Like, I don't know what kind of example we're setting. It came to a head when we were in Dubai and there was like a pub attached to our hotel, which I thought, you know, it'll be fine. We'll just go down for a drink in the afternoon, you know, ridiculously hot day, going for a drink. And the bloke was like, no, we can't have kids in here at all. I was just like, wow, like we've done this massive trip everywhere around the world and this is the one place you can't bring a kid into a pub, which kind of, I suppose, on reflection makes sense. Like, you know, they've got much stricter alcohol rules and everything like that in the country. So, just wondering what your thoughts are. Kids in pubs, yay, nay, what was your experiences as dads? Are we doing disservice? Are we legitimising? Where are we at?
Well, I don't want to say that you take your kids to the pub too much, but I heard that whenever you go in, whenever George walks in, the whole pub goes, George! Like Norm from Cheers.
Yeah. And the guy behind the bar says, is your regular Mr. Allen?
He just sends it straight over.
Look, I think you were talking about when you were working in pubs before. I think in the time period that you were doing that, I was doing it as well, is when the big shift happened from pubs being traditional in the kind of 70s and 80s kind of sense that we knew in Australia to being like someone had the brilliant idea, oh, hang on, we'll make more money if families come in and eat all the food at Bistro.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the parents can take turns slapping pokes. So I think most places are pretty happy with kids being around, maybe not at the front bar in amongst all the...
riff-raff.
Yeah.
But well, buddy, 2 to 12 o'clock. Who's taking their kids to the pub between...
Exactly.
What's happened? 2 to 12, that's outrageous.
That was a weird...
Imagine...
It was a weird sign that
imagine
was the,
arguing...
Kind of signage.
Imagine arguing at like 2 a.m., when they tell you your kids have to leave and they're like 4 years old and you're like, Come on, it's only 2 a.m.
I feel like a second-class citizen. My rights are being oppressed.
George starts poking the bouncer in the chest. Oh, big man. Big man.
Barman leans back, looks up at the sky.
No, it's all case by case. Case by case is kids are not annoying and they know how to behave in a pub.
If the kids can handle their drink, then
stay at the table and
not causing trouble. Yeah. Not causing punch-ons.
That's right.
Then let them stay. As I say, I don't know. I don't feel uncomfortable with it, obviously. But at the same time, I kind of go, is this quality parenting or is this kind of?
We had a pub. I mean, it's still there, but like they had a little play area out the back with like a toy, like a big sort of. They built like a mini house in there so the kids could play in that. Violet smashed a window, like a proper glass window, in this toy house one day. I can't even remember how. Just rage. And we were like, oh, that's pretty weird. Do we need to leave? Get booted out of the pub for smashing stuff? But, like, it depends. Like, a lot of pubs have little, like, separate areas. But I just think if you... They basically got to be on a leash. Not literally on a leash, but, like, you know, they can't be just running around through the bar.
Yeah.
I've never really had an issue with it.
It's house policy. And if you're a grumpy old crusty prick and you can afford to not, like, to not have families come in and spend money and you want to have a staunch policy about it, then fine. But I would say that'd be quite in the minority.
Oh, yeah. As I say, it's probably less about the legal ramifications and more the moral and ethical ones around.
I would say that would depend on how many other families have kids in there. If you're the only one with kids in the pub.
Most of the time. That's
quite often.
Quite often.
Then you would be going, why does this keep happening?
We like to go for the grittier pubs. We went to a Bennett Light pub in Adelaide. It was cracking. Yeah, there was a really good vibe and... Like, we kind of hung out in the beer garden bit and stuff. But, yeah, like, as I say, it's just one of those things I notice that we do kind of without thinking. The kids just come along with it. They don't kind of make a big issue out of it or anything like that. And they stay there. They're relatively well-behaved. But I think that you kind of look around, you're like, yeah, there's not really very often there's that many other kids. But we don't really have a choice either. Like, you know, when we say we don't have a choice, it's either kind of skulk back to your crappy hotel room and drink a can and do whatever, or it's not being out.
They're not going to let you drink. It doesn't happen.
It's not like we're doing it every weekend around here or anything like that. Like, you know, this is the thing. We only do it when we're out and about. But anyway,
and I suppose. Can I just say? I suppose also it does depend on the number of meth heads in your area. I'm not a great person to ask because working in pubs, like I was, you know, getting into altercations with people pretty regularly. Have been smashed over the head with a bottle. So I'm kind of, for a long time after working there, I was on edge, particularly when the kids were young and taking them into pubs. Now it's fine, whatever. But I was going, who's going to jump out of the woodwork now, kind of thing.
As I said, I knew that conversation wasn't going to have great legs on it. So,
it's got nice games on it, that. Let's talk a bit about Father's Day before we run out of time here, because it was Father's Day. There's no denying it. It definitely happened. Tell me, how would this have made you feel to get your Father's Day card? And both my boys had a slightly out of nowhere guilt trippy vibe to what they wrote. So the older one wrote, amongst some nice things, said, thank you for putting up with me. I went, mate, what's that? Put up with you? I love you, and I'm do the job of being your dad. I don't really understand your phrasing there. Anyway, read my younger one's bit, and he said a couple of nice things, and then said, I know I'm annoying sometimes, but I hope, you know, it's okay. And I go, what is this? Am I just coming across as perpetually frustrated and annoyed. And that
they've been listening to the podcast.
They took my Woolies bag out of my car, and then I went to Coles and went, oh, "What the fuck?
But I can't put up with this anymore."
I genuinely don't think like I've been particularly frustrated lately or anything. So I don't really know where that came from. I don't know whether they are trying to make a point, and I have been like being frustrated, or if they're kind of trying to write nice stuff and maybe getting a bit mixed up about what kind of things to say to be nice. I don't know. Like, it seems a bit backhanded.
I like that. I like that explanation in that they are, what have we got, a 17-year-old?
Yes.
And a 14-year-old?
Yes.
That don't have, you know, that are quite capable young men, but when you're trying to express your emotions as a 14 and a 17-year-old. Yeah,
the teenage male's trying to be nice.
I think it's just being a bit self-deprecating, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
And using kind of that similar humour as a bit of a defensive thing. I think you might be reading a little bit.
I don't know what nice thing to write, so I'm going to write something mean about myself.
Okay, good. I needed some opinions on how it read because, I immediately took it as, oh, am I being a prick lately?
No.
I don't think you asked you. I don't
Whereas I actually think I've been the nicest I've ever been lately, to be honest.
Well, maybe that's why they feel guilty.
Oh, right. Okay. So they've gone, oh, he could have been like this the whole time.
The time, yeah. God, if I wasn't so annoying, maybe he was really like this. This is the dad I could have had all along.
Yeah.
To give you some insight, my 16-year-old son has a job and purchased something for Lynn's for Mother's Day and then showed up after work on Sunday. So he worked the lunch shift and then came home after the lunch shift and just came into the lounge room and handed me a Rebel gift card. It said, Happy Father's Day.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because, he wasn't there. He'd stayed at his mate's house the night before.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
You told us in our message thread that some were staying over somewhere on Saturday night and then going straight to work on Sunday.
Yep.
Not making any reference to Father's Day, so perhaps either had forgotten or was not paying it, no, never mind.
Yes. There was definitely that vibe.
Mm.
Had purchased me a gift and had been asked to do two shifts on the Sunday.
Yeah.
And had said to his boss, I can't do both of those shifts. I need to spend some time with my dad.
Right.
On Father's Day.
That's so great. Okay.
He had already, he'd made some choices that held me at the center of them.
Which that's fantastic. So we went.
Well, that's what he told you anyway. And that's the most important thing.
Went into this thinking that he was, being maybe a bit unfeeling and a bit uncaring.
Yep, and like a 16-year-old boy.
It's come out the other side as completely the opposite. My only concern is the money to buy you that gift card, was it extorted from his brother through various nefarious school dealings?
It's a 48 to 72 hour window until we find out whether or not, because Louis won't say anything, and then at the end of 72 hours he will then go,
oh, that's the window, blurt it
out. So I think maybe tomorrow, maybe Wednesday, the truth might come out. But speaking of that,
he goes, I went to school and forgot my pants and I had to borrow his.
Yeah, that's right.
That was $50.
But speaking of this, right, so Lynn's dropped halves to his friend's house on Saturday afternoon.
Brother Ames.
As she's rocked up, the father of Harvey's friend has also driven in. Lynn's is making small talk. Oh, how's your day been? And he's like, oh, it's been crazy. And she's like, oh, sport. He's like, no, I'm preparing to have 70 18-year-old girls at this house. And Lynn's like, what? And she's like, tonight? Yeah, 18th birthday party tonight.
Ugh.
I was like, and Lynn's tried to ring me, but I was doing something else, didn't have my phone with me. And So she's rocked up. 18-year-old, like an 18th birthday party's going on that night where Harvey's staying. We knew nothing about it.
What? Right,
so Lindsay's like, oh, okay, this is weird.
Now, why on earth would he want to go to that?
I don't know. Can't answer
why
that
didn't
question.
He tell you? I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Now, you would definitely have said yes.
Now, Lindsay gets in the car, like sort of a bit.
70.
Yeah. Said, I don't know if that's an exact number, like it might have been, you know.
And all girls. Like,
yeah, this is what I was saying. Why are they all girls?
Great question. So Lindsay gets in the car. She's tried to ring me. She's a bit sort of boggled as to what's actually going on. And she gets a message from Harvey. I knew nothing about this.
No.
Okay.
So he, like, all right. He okay. wants you to believe the friend didn't mention it to Harvey.
Correct.
At all.
So we're, you know, just a little bit sort of, bit miffed at this stage. But we let it go and everything was fine. He was up the next day. He got to work. No dramas. Like there were no issues. Then we get to dinner last night. And the Louis...
The reveal.
The Louis reveal.
The prestige.
Yes. Yep. Something, we were telling this story about the party and Louis just piped up and went, oh, Harv has been talking about that since like Thursday.
Yay.
No.
Good on you, buddy.
Well done, brother.
Nice one, brother.
It's just the best. It's the best.
Louis is getting some snitch vibes about him though, like.
It literally sounds like the premise for a 1980s sex rock movie. Like,
correct.
Yeah.
It's like a deal, like girls at this
Dylan
party
would have been
start.
Running around the background just being a menace.
Would 18-year-old girls look twice at a 16-year-old kid?
Stu, he's enormous.
All right.
They used him as a bouncer.
What? What is going on?
What, in case a 71st... girl tried to get in.
Boys
came in. Boys were trying to get in. He had to actually stop three guys coming into the house.
18-year-old guys.
Yep.
This is an 80s movie. He built a robot.
And then they come back dressed in blonde wigs and lipstick and
Oh, dear. So the dad.
Like Stride Nerd League or give it
Oh, God. Yep, so there you go.
Wow.
So it wasn't all girls' party, is what you actually say.
No, it turns out that there were some gentlemen there as well.
Okay. So why was Harvey bouncing then?
I don't understand. Yeah, I don't care how tall your son is. Let's get a 16-year-old. Their good judgment's good. They can't get talked around anything.
That was my question as well. Oh, why are you getting the 16-year-old to be a bouncer at an 18-year-old's birthday party?
Well, they say chat's three quarters of a bouncer's job, talking people down.
It absolutely is, but you need the confidence to do that. Like, you need to be...
Yeah. Well, he does know the karate. He knows some of the karates.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Did I tell you guys that
Was he dressed in his karate gear? Now,
pie at the front.
Yeah, he had that... That weird wooden thing with wooden bits sticking out. He was doing all the arm gear.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did he, like, what was his attitude when he was caught out, I guess, is my question. Dad, 70.
Yes. You know, just sort of just let it go. it was just sort of like, meh. Whatevs. A lot of whatevs.
Is it hard? Is it difficult, Wiggins, just to be like, no, yeah, whatever. Yeah, like, if you put yourself in his shoes, you'd be like, no, yeah. Of course, why would you? Why would you? Why would you not, like...
Why would I have told you? You would have said I can't go.
Yeah, that's right. Why wouldn't you just lie about that and just hope that no one ever found out? Well, of course you would at 16. That's exactly what you would do.
Correct. That is the correct thought process of a 16-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever went to any parties with 70 girls. Fellas?
Nope.
Ah. Different time, eh?
Yep.
70s girls.
Oh. Oh. No, I'm not going to say that.
We went to some good parties when we were 16, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were some very good parties going on. 16 was a pretty peak year for parties. Like, yeah.
Well, that's why I was like talking to my eldest. Like, we went to my niece's 18th and she was just observing everything like it was science. I'm like, you're nearly at the end of year 11. Well, what's going on? Where are all the parties? She was like, I just don't. I don't get invited to them. You don't have to be invited to parties.
Yeah.
Just turn up.
Just turn up.
Let your old man show you know what to do. Yeah.
Let's go. Hey, kids. Actually, I'll put a wig on and they'll be fine.
I'll flick some Sub-Zeros in.
Jeez. Hi, guys.
No, just don't change your voice at all. Hello. I'm Violet's best friend.
I'm Gwen.
Blanche, I'm here. Have a good time.
All right.
Hi, guys.
We're running out of time here. Matt, did you have any Father's Day stuff?
Not really. My daughter impressed me by making me Mars bar slice and writing a very sarcastic note. Like, well, you know when they show their sense of humor and you're like, oh, so proud. Like, she got me a card and the first thing said, to the best farter, crossed out, father in the world. And I was like, well done. You are a Barry.
Love it.
You belong in this family.
Yeah. Especially when she punched you in the face when you didn't have burgers on Friday.
Yeah, that's right. She also wrote this at the end. She wrote 4.5 stars, great taxi service. This is her review. Will maybe give money if you ask. Willing to pick up extra people, but will definitely get annoyed.
Hey, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Can't argue with that.
All right, Rich, we need to know.
Oh.
Your Father's Day. What did you do?
Well, we went to Adelaide to watch the Bears, which was, we had a lovely day in Adelaide. That was wonderful, very enjoyable. Obviously, pubs were involved, but it was very, very good. The day before was a little bit more of the a tale of being aware of real dad time and the perils associated with it. So when in Adelaide, there is a deli inside the Adelaide Central Markets, which serves the best sandwiches you will ever eat in your life. Like, literally, there's just no comparison. It's the bread, the filling, everything is just absolute perfection.
What makes it so good?
I don't know. It's just, they use pure quality ingredients. It's just every element is freshness. Just absolute quality.
Right.
Fresh bread, baked on site bread, prosciutto as, you know, thick layers of it. There's probably about 200 grams of prosciutto on this one, like a panini sandwich, like thick sliced proper mozzarella. So not like kind of like white mozzarella, you know, the soft stuff.
Yeah.
With fresh spinach, drizzle of pesto, olive oil, salt and pepper, crack, bang. Beautiful tomato, huge fat slices of beef tomatoes. So it's a phenomenal sandwich. You know, it's just that thing. It's simplicity, but perfection. And it's been pointed out to me by my wife many times, oh, why don't you just make your own? Yeah, I could. But this is the perfect sandwich. There's something about the ratios. There's something there that they do which just makes it perfect.
And anyway, there's no armoire full of recipes for you to stumble across somewhere.
Well, it's just so simple, but it comes down to the bread is a huge part of it. It's that thing, like any kind of good sandwich / banh mi, whatever you're doing, you know, the bread is such an integral part of the whole substance structure of the sandwich. So anyway, market closes at 3 o'clock. We're 4.5 hour drive. And I wasn't really too concerned. I thought, you know, 3 o'clock, that's plenty of time. So we were being absolutely exhausted. Like, I went to camp for a week and that was absolutely draining, and kids' sports have been going on. Like, we just finished up all the footy and soccer and stuff last weekend. So we're exhausted. So we didn't want to kind of push ourselves. Tony's been did like 3 or 4 sleepovers on the trot last week. So we didn't want to push ourselves by kind of leaving too early. Like, that was never the plan, to get there at ridiculous hours. 9:30 was kind of expected departure. If we don't get away by 10 till 10, so be it. Anyway, So that's going to get us there. Because remember, Adelaide's half an hour behind as well. So you kind of, you catch up that extra half an hour.
Oh, yeah. That's so that's a real dad time boost, if anything.
Yeah.
It's a great real dad time boost.
Especially where you are. You must be right near near the actual changeover. Can't be too far. Yeah, we're about,
well, this is it. Like, Broken Hill's on the same meridian as us, and they're actually half an hour behind, but we're exactly in line, but we're still on Eastern time. So we figured, you know, 2 o'clock local time, by the time we have to stop and get petrol and, you know, whatever. So we pull up into Adelaide Central Market at 1:55, park straight away in the market, downstairs at about 2:03, find the store holder, 2:04, walk up there. There's three people sitting outside eating freshly made sandwiches. Sorry, we've all sold out of paninis today. Just utter heartbreak. Like it was like I know we were going there for other reasons, but it was my primary reason was to go and get this sandwich.
Oh, I understand. Denied. Yeah.
Can I?
So the sandwich denial. It's taken me a bit of soul searching. I'm hoping to get over it soon.
Yeah.
But we'll see. One day at a time.
Can I tell you what I think this is? It's more than just a missed sandwich. It's the fact that in this scenario, anything you did for RDT wouldn't have helped.
Well, no, I think that you're wrong there, Buckland.
This is my question that I'm sure you're about to ask. Now this is where we get into actual real dad time, why we're such cranky bastards, is I guarantee you that someone did something make them 7 minutes later than they needed to be, which would have got them a sandwich. I guarantee it.
Absolutely. And you know what it was? Drove out. And had to stop and check that we brought the toiletry bag. So we got down to the roundabout at the end of the street and kind of, you know, it's literally like three roads to get to Adelaide. So, you know, roundabout at the end of the street, turn the first left turn, and then the next left turn is in 334 kilometres, turn right. Anyway, so get down there and, have you got the toiletry bag? And I said, I can't remember, because it was in with like the shoebox and everything.
Down with a laboo-boo. So
pulled over. Open it up while I'm pulled over. DVD player's not working. Can't get that going. So fiddling about these for minutes on end. All these little minutes.
Yeah. Yes, minutes.
Micro. Let's call them what they are. Microaggressions.
Micro dad aggressions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sandwich deniers. That's what they are.
Yeah. So this is exactly my point is that, and I was too laissez-faire. I will put my hand up and admit that it is completely my fault. I should have set a hard 9 o'clock departure time. And this is my fault, and I've learned my lesson. Do not underestimate the power of RDT. You need to know.
And sandwiches.
You need to always, and provide yourself that buffer, because 7 minutes can be the difference between you getting a sandwich and missing out.
I have two questions. First question is, if these sandwiches are so good, and you're open till 3 o'clock. Like, it wasn't their first day of making these sandwiches.
Yeah.
No, but at the same time, because they're so good, they don't want to cook too much bread so that there's all this leftover. Because then what are you going to do with your leftover bread? Like, you know, I can... look, this is...
We went straight to stock levels.
I'm not allowing anyone else to take responsibility for my lack of regard for real dad time.
Understood. Now, my second question is... And I understand if I get kicked off this call for asking this question, fine.
Hmm.
Do they do any other sandwiches?
No. When I say they, like the actual bread, the actual bread was done, and that's all they sell. They just sell. There's like eight different varieties of sandwiches you can choose from.
Yep.
However, they just do panini, and it's just that's their one. That's why it's so good. Like it is literally.
We can give you a sandwich, but it's going to be on Bunnings bread. It's going to have all the good bits in it.
I could. There are eight other storeholders which do sandwiches there, and I just refused. Like
I love it. I love that's real dad. That's a real dad effort.
Ben, dad, there's another sandwich. You could have that one.
No, there's not.
You don't understand.
No, Matilda. No, George. We will not be getting another sandwich.
Ben, I'm intrigued by your idea of what offends us. But we'll come back to that another time.
Was there any chance you were going to nick the people's sandwiches at the front?
That was my question. No, my question was, were you going to go out there and beg or negotiate in some way?
This is discussed. And the discussion was...
Just give me a bite from all three. That'll be fine.
Do I grab $20 from my wallet, slam it down the table, and just piss bolt out with the bread with one of the sandwiches?
That would have been great, yep.
The other one was, do you just go and just outright take it? Or do you try and negotiate something for the sandwich and see just how far, as Tony said, how far would you be willing to go to pay for that sandwich?
Well, knowing your luck, you would nick a sandwich, run back to the car, but then have to fix a DVD player before you can drive off anyway.
The seagulls just come and pick up the sandwich and take it off, yeah.
A giant seagull comes and steals the sandwich.
I think any reasonable group of three men eating a delicious sandwich, having seen a very upset man who'd just driven a long way,
would
cut a third off their sandwich to give him a hole.
I've just driven, I literally said to the guy, I've just driven all the way from Mildura for this sandwich. And you're denying me, like, you know, as if he could do anything about it. Yeah. He just laughed and said, sorry.
I just like the idea of Ellis just sort of hanging around the table in case they were like, oh, so full. I can't eat it all. Just him just sauntering and pretending he's the waiter and saying, like, oh, yes, have you finished your meal? Let me take your plates. And just...
So this is a $17 sandwich. What do you think is a reasonable amount to pay? What would you accept for this sandwich? If you were one of those three gentlemen, what would your asking price be?
How many bites have been taken out?
Yeah. How much have I eaten of it? I don't know, Ellis. If I've already eaten, like if I hadn't taken a bite, the price would be much higher. Because I haven't eaten yet.
For a pristine sandwich, would you accept $30 for a pristine sandwich?
I don't know. I would probably be like, no, it's mine. You stay away.
the problem is they'd come from Queensland for the sandwich.
This is it.
Well, it depends where they
came
from.
You're really risking just the most obnoxious answer of like, you should have got here earlier. Then you're really going to have to.
Yeah.
Then he would just want to beat the shit out of all of them in a rage.
Spit on this.
And had three sandwiches.
Oh, that's it. Maybe that's the thing. You just go and pour a cup of piss all over their sandwiches.
I reckon you know what? I'd still, you know what? This sandwich is that good and you're missing out.
I suspect you keep a cup of piss in your car just for that eventuality. In case you miss out on a desired sandwich one day.
Just in case. Yeah. Well, real dad time would say, no one's going to the toilet. We could kill two birds with one stone here. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know. If I'd already eaten some of it and I saw the look on your face, then I'd probably give you a third of my sandwich.
Mm. Oh, so they're free not of a charge. Sunday bakery or they're not a Sunday sandwich shop.
This is the market's only is closed Sunday, Monday. This is everything was conspired. We had to be there.
How did you find out about this place?
We just stumbled upon it the last time we were in Adelaide. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. Like, it's become the thing. There's three things we do in Adelaide. I've got to say, Adelaide does three things very well. Breakfast is amazing. So doesn't matter where you go for breakfast. Had the most incredible breakfast this morning. Like, there's three incredible breakfast places I can recommend all around Adelaide. This sandwich and
storage of corpses.
Storage of corpses. it's an odd city. It's a very, I very much like it, but it is not like any other capital city in Australia that I've been to. Like, it's very, very laid back.
Still need to go to a test match. Quite.
I have to tell you, like, it's our 20-year wedding anniversary next year, and I was saying to Jazz, maybe we could why don't we go somewhere we haven't been together, like, why don't we go to Adelaide? And she was like, nah, I've already been to Adelaide. And I was like, we could go to Adelaide, it'd be pretty good. I'm just thinking about a sandwich. That's all I can think about. It's like, if we go there, I can eat this sandwich. And then I told her the story of the sandwich, and she said, we should go to Adelaide. I was like, I was trying to get you there for our anniversary. Just to get a sandwich.
When's your anniversary?
Is it March?
March. Yeah, March.
March. You could delay it by a couple of weeks and come to Gather Round.
Well, I think we're going to go to Tasmania because neither of us have been to Tasmania for the anniversary. But I'd love to. That's still high on the priority is to get to a game.
A test match as well, yeah, would be quite special.
No, yeah, sandwich.
Pretty good.
And well, sandwich.
Sandwich, yeah.
I think that probably wraps up our Father's Day special where we talked quite not much about Father's Day at all, but that's okay.
Sorry,
very quickly before I go. Wait. Very quickly.
Yep. Are you very quickly or am I very quickly?
I'm very quickly, then you can very quickly.
Cool.
Ben, how did your mother react when you told her about Casablanca?
Great question.
Haven't.
It was Father's Day, not Mother's Day.
That's right. Go on then, Ben.
Can I just ask, of all the gifts that you got, what was the description of your dadding? So I got a super dad mug.
Oh.
Matthew, you got a... what was yours? Yours was the coolest dad in the world.
World's coolest dad, yeah.
World's coolest dad. I know.
I got the world's best dad mug and sock set and a motorbike alarm clock, analog alarm clock that's next to my bed.
Wow.
I know. That's cool. I was very impressed. It's really cool.
Tremendous.
I've got a fairly pedestrian best dad card.
Can't wear that.
No.
I can't put it.
Drink out of it.
I can't drink out of it.
Can't swish it around on my keys. Can't do anything. Yeah, all right. Well, thank you. And then happy Father's Day to all the fathers and non-fathers out there.
Happy Father's Day.
And join us again next month. We'll see you then. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Adios.
Tell me your rap, please.
Hey, my name's Joe. I like to know. And my big toe, its name's Flo. Although people say it ain't so. Oh, yeah.
This is an Angry Chimp podcast.